As you take your seat, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 22 through 56. We're looking actually starting with verse 26. The Gospel of Luke, something that just flows right along from what Mary and Al just sang. It's wonderful how that fits in with our focus in our study this morning. Turn with me and also pull out your green bulletin insert that has sermon notes. Follow along there as we look together at Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has remembered his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. The Bible is full of heroes and heroines. All the way back in the Old Testament, from Abraham to Joseph, Moses to Joshua, David to Daniel, New Testament, Peter and John, Paul and Barnabas. How about Jesus? Biblical heroes. Except for Christ, all these Bible heroes had serious flaws and failings. But they all had significant faith and courage also. Humanity redeemed. Real heroes that we can emulate and imitate, as we can also relate to them in their failings. But be careful not to overlook the great biblical heroines also. Perhaps it's possible to skip over Elizabeth, as we focus on Zechariah and the angel, especially Gabriel. It's understandable possibly to skip over Mary, to focus on her son. That makes great sense, especially as Protestants, the post-Reformation tendency to overreact to the Roman Catholic overemphasis on Mary. Yet don't miss the great message of this passage, this young woman's life of faith and her expression of faith. This season of Advent, we are following a sermon study series on the songs of Christmas. In Luke chapters 1 and 2, the songs of the Nativity. Last week we considered Zechariah's song of preparation, the Benedictus. Next week we're going to be looking at the angel's song of praise, Gloria in excelsis Deo. But this week I want to focus on Mary's song, her song of promise. It is often called the Magnificat because in the Latin translation of the scriptures way back in the early parts of the church, the Vulgate translation, the common tongue, first word of Mary's song is Magnificat, my soul magnifies or glorifies the Lord. My soul, in the King James Version, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Her song gives us a glimpse into Mary's heart condition. I want that to be an inspiration for us this morning as we focus on Mary's Magnificat, a song of promise. As we look at this song, we see in Mary a heart of faith that we can emulate. How can this be? Mary asked the angel. Simple faith-filled response. Not a question of doubt or skepticism like Zechariah that we looked at last week. How can this be? Not, look, I know you're an angel, but really? Nor, you know, you don't have to have a PhD in biology to know this isn't how things work. After all, I'm a virgin. Nor did she say to Gabriel, you know, this is not how my mama told me things work. Actually, Mary's situation was even more unbelievable than Zechariah and Elizabeth that we talked about last week. But we see that even with the question, Mary accepts the angelic explanation. For nothing is impossible with God, Gabriel says. Mary doesn't say, you know what? I want you to prove it. Show me a sign. I'll believe it when I see it. Nope, she just says, basically, okay, let it be to me as you have said. And her song shows great faith beyond the miracle of the virgin birth. Faith in God, the God of our salvation. For God has promised and now provided a Savior for all of His people. Nothing is impossible with God. Consider God's possibilities as a foundation for our faith today as we bring this into the 21st century. What seems impossible in your life today? What seems hopeless and implausible in your situation today? What causes worry and anxiety in your life and family today? What has God promised you to provide and to take care of you? The Lord Almighty can and will deliver on His promises, just as He did back then in the first century with Mary and the people of God. For the Mighty One has done great things for us too. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm for us too. And he will continue to do so. You can have faith as you emulate the faith of Mary. Good news, nothing is impossible with God, no matter what you're facing today. Mary's song of promise reminds us that we can have faith, faith as we emulate her faith. Mary's song of promise also reminds us that we of a heart of submission that we can imitate this striking and sincere humility in submission. Mary doesn't say or sing, "Look at me, look how great I am. After all, God chose me." She doesn't sing, "You know, I knew that one day God would choose me to be the messianic mom." Mary doesn't sing or say, "It's because I'm so righteous, isn't it? Choosable." No. Rather, she sings, "My soul magnifies or glorifies the Lord." She's not focused on herself, except for the humble state of this servant herself. As we read in verse 38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." This heart of submission, we can imitate radical obedience or submission to God's will. It takes radical obedience. Again, Mary does not say, "Oh, no, not me, not now." Doesn't say, "You know, I wanted to have a family, but timing is all wrong, Gabriel." Doesn't say that. She doesn't say, "You know, now's not really a convenient time. Can you come back in 6 months?" Doesn't say that. "After all, it's Christmas time. There's so much to do. I don't have time for a baby right now." Nor does she say, "This is not the way I planned it at all. This is going to ruin my dreams for a big synagogue wedding." And no, she says, "Okay. Whatever you say, Lord, may it be to me as you have said. Whatever you want. Not my will, but yours," in a sense. Sounds familiar, like something her son will eventually say. Radical obedience to God's will. Consider the consequences of submission to God's will as we look at Mary. Remember, back then, according to the Old Testament law, Moses' law required death, the death penalty for the sin of adultery. Mary's "yes, Lord," could cost her her very life. Her submission, humility and obedience and courage, came with a cost. Realize the cost of social ostracism at the very least. Can you imagine there in Nazareth the tongues wagging around the well drawing water? Do you believe this story? Really? The Holy Spirit? Well, I've never heard that one before. Doing what God wants could lead you where you don't want to go. Following God's call, doing God's commands, it's not always convenient. What's God calling you to do this morning? It might be great, but it might be small. It might be inconvenient, unpopular, and difficult. It might be easy, but it might be hard. Humbling, scary, out of your comfort zone, taking submission and obedience. Doing God's will is not always easy, but it's always right. Ask Mary. Imagine her response. "No place I'd rather be than in the center of God's will," she would say. Well, the heart of Mary, it's a heart of devotion that we can cultivate and generate within ourselves. A heart of devotion, cultivating spontaneous adoration and devotion. This Magnificat magnifies makes bigger, makes greater the glory of God, to glorify the greatness of the Lord. This morning we need to grow our heart capacity to love and exalt God for all of His greatness. If we come to Him with little hearts, has little love. If we come to Him with big hearts, it's big in love and adoration and devotion, in genuine worship and praise. We can generate genuine worship and praise as we cultivate this same heart that Mary had. That's why we're here, after all, in church, to bless the Lord, not to be blessed, but to bless Him and to bless others. That's why we're here on earth, to glorify His name. Is it real this morning? Let's learn from Mary. This morning, we listen to Mary's song of promise. And we can learn to sing a simple song. This song that affirms a faith that we can emulate. This is a song that expresses submission and obedience that we can imitate. A song that inspires adoration, devotion, and praise that we can cultivate. This morning I'd like to share with you, actually I've asked Christina to sing, and I'm going to just tag along for the ride, Mary's song. Song actually that was written from this text by John Michael Talbot a number of years ago. And we have two mics? No, we have one mic. Well, it's all good. I have a mic. I have two mics? But listen to this song and learn to sing it in your heart. All right, great.
My name. and holy. Holy, holy is his name. And
is your name. We exalt you. We praise you, for you have done wonderful things for us, in us, through us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that great promise of salvation. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen our faith as we emulate and emulate the faith and obedience and devotion of Mary. Come, Lord Jesus, and rework the wonder in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.